It's showtime.
Kincaid, 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go. We are off and running. This program is live for the 14th day of March, 2018. This is The Horn. And HeadOn.live is where we live right now. There's a problem with HeadOnRadioNetwork.com, and I don't know what that problem is. This is the curse of having web hosting done, you know, on the other side of the planet. Sometimes it's a little difficult to communicate with them, but I'm working on it, and we'll get it sorted out, hopefully one way or the other. Domain's paid up, hosting's paid up, everything's paid up, and so, you know, I'm kind of stymied. But anyway, we'll get it back, but HeadOn.live is up and running, and if you would like to help keep this program on the air, remember, we are listener-supported. There are no ads here, except for the ones for our bullshit nutritional supplements, which aren't real. Well, just go over to HeadOn.live and scroll down till you find the PayPal button and jump in. And, we've got a fundraising deficit somewhere on the order of $154 and change from last night. What was that, $154.67 or something like that? So that makes $354.67 we need to raise this evening, which is, can rapidly snowball into a nasty little figure by the end of the week. And frankly, there are some bills that need rather badly to be paid, and it would be great if I could do that. Seems like that's mostly all we do around here is pay bills. But that's where things stand. It's a toasty 51.8 degrees, up at about 6.5 feet from the ceiling. A little bit more brisk down here closer to the floor. 6 inches of fresh snow on the car this morning. Oh, joy. Yeah. Thanks go out to our subscribers for this day of the month, the 14th. Pi Day, by the way. Thanks go out to Matt in San Francisco. And to Joseph, thank you, Joseph, and thank you very kindly to James in California. Thank you, James, thank you, and Matt, and thank you, Joseph. Those are our subscribers for the 14th day of the month, which in this case, like I said, is Pi Day, 3.14. Mm-hmm. How about that? Dr. Stephen Hawking left the building on a mathematical holiday. Arguably the most brilliant man in the last 50 to 75 years, he checked out with real panache. Mm-hmm. Light speed, Dr. Hawking, light speed. Now, with that being mentioned, and seeing as how this is Prayer Meeting Wednesday, I'm gonna dismiss with the shilly shallying and carrying on, simply because I have an errand I have to run tonight, and I would prefer not to be getting back home at like 1 o'clock in the morning. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to shorten the program a little bit. Basically, the program tonight is a filibobster, because then I have to get in the car and do some driving. I mentioned that we've got some medical stuff going on in our family. This is part of that, so I've got to hit the road, and I would prefer, like I said, not to be on the road all night and getting back home at some crazy-ass hour. So this will provide me the opportunity to do that if I knock off a little bit early. But nonetheless, it is Prayer Meeting Wednesday, and we'll just sort of figuratively, well, it's always figuratively when we pass the heavy brass-bound velvet-lined plates. But just consider that they're coming around, and they'll get to you eventually, and just push that little PayPal button. Again, headonradionetwork.com is down for the moment, but there's a PayPal interface at headon.live, and it works just Jim Dandy. I'm told that we're streaming on every available platform. Yay for that. You can get the White Rose Society stream over at whiterosesociety.org, not just headon.live. Or not just headonradionetwork.com, and then there's the separate headon.live stream, which is its own creature, and that you get at headon.live, okay? So, it's Prayer Meeting Wednesday, so we look at religious stuff, and, well, it goes without, it's sort of to be expected, I guess, that when a brilliant man of science dies, some good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, amosexual Christian will be nasty. Because, you know, that's what their Jesus taught them. Be nasty as often as possible. And so we take you where else but to Texas. Yes, yes, a nasty little evangelical by the name of, no, this is really his name, Briscoe Cain, as in slew Abel. Mm-hmm. Brisket Cain, I mean, if you had a baby in Texas, maybe you'd name your kid Brisket. I mean, Briscoe. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Marty, you're right. Stephen Hawking has passed, and the world is a little bit stupider today. Yes, that story. Proving Marty's assertion that the world is a little bit stupider today, we have Christian man of faith, representative from the Texas State House, Briscoe Cain, who took to Twitter upon the news that Stephen Hawking, who did so much to teach us about the ways and the workings of the multiverse. Universe means one. I have a feeling there are several. So I'm using that word. I saw it the other day and I thought, you know, that's probably appropriate. The multiverse. If, in fact, the UNI in universe means one, I presume it does. It sounds kind of Latin. But, no, the representing Brisket Cain took to the Twitters and said, here's the tweet. Let's start at the beginning. Stephen Hawking now knows the truth about how the universe was actually made. My condolences to his family. No, really. There's your Christian love. There's your grace that passeth all understanding. Hooey! And they wonder why their religion's dying. He said that. Then Jonathan Tilov, T-I-L-O-V-E, from the Austin American Statesman, sort of called him out on it, and representing Brisket Cain responded, "While many see him as one of the greatest public intellectuals of the last century, and no one disputes that he was brilliant, the fact remains that God exists. My tweet was to show the gravity of the gospel and what happens when we die, namely that we all will one day meet the creator of the universe face to face. And in one of the better little waggish bits of humor from the interweb tubes today, the tweet of God announced that Stephen Hawking had only been there for a matter of hours before he mathematically proved to God that he didn't exist. That was good. Yep. So the gravity, see, gravity using, Stephen Hawking was a physicist, and so the gravity of the gospel, yeah, that's pretty grave stuff, the Jesus wept. Yeah. So, but presumably equally grave is the concept of do unto others as you would have them do unto you. So apparently, since representing Brisket Cain chose to mock a man far more intelligent than representing Brisket Cain can ever even dream of being, it's okay to do to him as he did to others, and mock him relentlessly and mercilessly, and to call him out. By the way, representing Brisket Cain, and this is saying something, in a state that is notorious for the weirdness of its conservatives. I mean, this is the state that has a district that sends Louis Gohmert to the Congress every 2 years. Representing Brisket Cain is listed as the single most right-wing member of the entire Texas House of Representatives. This according to a study of legislative votes cast as analyzed by Professor Mark Jones of Rice University. Representing Brisket Cain continued, Stephen Hawking was a vocal atheist who advocated against and openly mocked God. Well, okay, vocal. The goddess of irony was just working poor Brisket Cain left and right. That's why he had to have a machine to speak for him, because he wasn't vocal, you idiot. Then there's Democratic State Representative Pancho Nevarez, who said, at a time like this, and I don't care who it is, and I am sure they care less who you are, but mocking the deceased and his family reveals the smallness of your character. Be better than that. And then there was a good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, amosexual, Christian, Republican representative, another member of the Texas House named Jeff Leach, who jumped on the Twitter and said, hey, fellow Christians, cool it with the hateful and snarky Stephen Hawking condemnations. Yeah, they're not gonna. Because, see, representing Brisket Cain is probably in a gas station bathroom right now, or maybe the bathroom of the Texas State House if they're in. He's somewhere, and he's got his hand down his trousers, and he's tugging his tiny todger for all he's worth, thinking about how Stephen Hawking's down there in hell, and he's burning in hell, and he's confessing Christ as Lord, but it don't help because it's too late. Why do I know he's doing that? Because I've seen a photograph of him. Never mind. He's also, of course, being the single most white-wing member of the Texas legislature, he's also a notorious gun humper. He loves to open carry his freedom protector, his blue steel revolver penis extension, and he thinks that guns save lives. No, really, he does. Which, of course, brings me, which brings me to a tragic story. Oh, heartbreaking. Published over at USA Today. By Gregory Korte, K-O-R-T-E. It is painful to read. It's painful to contemplate. And just awful in its scope. It's the story that Gregory Korte had a personal relationship with an academic, a college professor at Northern Illinois University. By the name of Dr. P.S. Ruckman, Jr. He taught political science at NIU and Rock Valley College, and was probably one of the leading experts in the country in the use of the presidential pardon. And Korte had written about that, and with Dr. Ruckman's help had actually won the Gerald Ford Prize for writing about the presidency last year. Because, as arcane as it may sound, the pardon power is a pretty interesting topic. And Dr. Ruckman had compiled a huge database. So Gregory Korte writes that he was sitting at his desk and saw an email come in, and Dr. Ruckman provided him with his data set on presidential pardons, which was huge, and which he had not shared previously, possibly working on a book or something. Well, here's the sad and sorry tale that Gregory Korte later found out to be what happened. In the little community where Dr. Ruckman lived, police found on March the 3rd, 2018, Winnebago County, Illinois, sheriff's investigators went into Dr. Ruckman's home and found where Dr. Ruckman had first murdered his 14-year-old son, Christopher, and his 12-year-old son, Jack, and then killed himself. The boys were said to be wonderful young men. They attended a Christian school. They were both musical prodigies, one on drums, one on guitar. And since, as representing Brisket Kane points out, guns save lives, well, I guess that didn't work out outside at a nice little suburban home outside Rockford, Illinois. What a horror. Because no doubt, just shooting your sons in the head is a lot easier than having to, you know, by the time they get to 12 and 14, the bathtub's not going to work anymore. You know, when Jesus starts talking to you. Because, and remember, we have to acknowledge now that it's not mental illness when you hear voices in your head telling you to do things. That's religious faith that we have to tolerate. We have to be tolerant of all of the hallucinations and whatnot that come with religious insanity. Yeah. But remember, guns save lives, and we can thank Representative Brisket Kane for telling the world that that he thinks Stephen Hawking is in hell. My favorite part of the of his statement was the fact remains that God exists. Well, see, that's a thing. It's not a fact. That's a belief. But as is so often the case with these upstanding Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, gun-dementalist, amosexual Christian Republicans, they cannot tell the difference between a fact and a belief. And so, with a completely straight face, Representing Brisket Kane can say, the fact remains that God exists. Wouldn't you love to see him try to put that to a proof? That's the thing about religion, though. You either believe it or you don't, and it's okay if you do. But you have to acknowledge at some point in time that what you're doing is, in fact, believing, not knowing. And most people who are honest about their faith will say, yep, it's faith. I can't prove it. I just believe it. And that's okay. But what kind of pissant mean-spiritedness is it? I mean, that's, if you read the book, and that is not a Christian spirit. That's not a Christian attitude, at least not according to what the book actually says. Of course, representing Brisket Kane, he's got an entirely different Bible that exists only in his own head, or what passes for a brain. Oh, by the way, he's a big, big fan, Brisket Kane is, of anointed booger-eating future king of America, Rafael Eduardo Cruz, whose name isn't Ted, son of Rafael Eduardo Cruz, the man who forgot to become an American for a really long time. So, you know, birds of a feather. You ever been anywhere near a vulture's nest, a buzzard's roost? Yeah, kind of like that. Nasty. Just nasty. Mm-hmm. Also, being as how it is prayer meeting Wednesday, we've got some other things to worry about. Remember, good God, fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, amosexual, Christian pastor Kevin Swanson, who really wants to be a movie critic more than he wants to be a preacher? Oh, dear. Well, he's terribly, terribly upset about, yes, The Shape of Water. He got angry about it earlier, but he ramped it up after the Academy Awards.
We have followed the Academy Awards for 10, 15 years as we have broadcast on this radio program. And that's because the Academy Awards tends to be the leading edge for the moral collapse of the nation. So it's good to know, I guess, what the leading edge is doing as it continues to lead the moral collapse of the nation. So the Academy Award ceremonies this week provided the Best Film and Best Director Oscar to a violation of the worst possible sexual sin mentioned in Leviticus chapter 18.
Worst possible sexual sin. Wonder what that could be. Of course, it sort of calls into question the ethics of Almighty God there. See, and say, well, okay, let's just wait a minute.
Maybe I just leave it there.
Yeah, do it. No,
I don't want to defile the ears of my listeners. But this was another...
Well, what's he actually thinking about doing? I don't want to defile the ears of my listeners.
Milestone in the moral degradation of Hollywood and the nation itself. Now, what it did was it presented the ultimate sexual depravity. And again, I don't want anybody thinking what this is. But the ultimate sexual depravity as presented in Leviticus 18 is presented in this movie as a tender, romantic, and a beautiful thing.
Because it's kind of a tender, romantic, beautiful movie that's not really all about the fish sex. Let's see. The ultimate... There's a whole bunch of depravity in Leviticus 18. We'll be using the English Standard Version instead of the King James Version this evening. Well, no, we won't, because God speaks in God's language is the Queen's English. So let's go there. It's ever so much more fun that way. Here we go. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, I am the Lord your God. Because there has to be reverb. We'll dispense with the reverb for the rest of God talking here. Because, you know, the children of Israel wouldn't have recognized that it was God if he didn't say, Hi, I'm God. I mean, that could have just been, you know, some dude from around the corner in the desert somewhere. Let's see. None of you shall approach to any that is near of kin, to him to uncover their nakedness. I am the Lord. I am Groot. The nakedness of thy father or the nakedness of thy mother shalt thou not uncover. She is thy mother. Thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. I am Groot. The nakedness of thy father's wife shalt thou not uncover. It is thy father's nakedness. I am Groot. The nakedness of thy sister, the daughter of thy father, or daughter of thy mother, whether she be born at home or born abroad, even their nakedness thou shalt not uncover. I am Groot. The nakedness of thy son's daughter, or of thy daughter's daughter, even their nakedness shalt thou not uncover, for theirs is thine own nakedness. I am Groot. I'm adding the I am Groots just because I think it makes it a little more, profound. You know, the gravity of the Bible and everything, like representing Brisket Cain was talking about. There's about 15 verses of nakedness that thou shalt not uncover. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy daughter-in-law. She is thy son's wife. Thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. I am Groot. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy brother's wife. It is thy brother's nakedness. I am Groot. A woman and her daughter, her son's daughter, her daughter's daughter. You know, this is some pretty fine-grained admonitions. And we can point out once again that culturally... societies tend not to have rules for things that aren't happening. For instance, there's nothing in here about thou shalt not have sex with an elephant because there weren't any elephants in that part of the country at the time. Or maybe there were. But apparently they didn't have an elephant problem. There's nothing in here about not getting it on with a manatee because there weren't any manatees. But it kind of makes you wonder if there had been manatees, there probably would have because somebody would try to. So for every one of these things that the Lord God is telling them not to do, it is a safe bet that somebody had tried it. Getting your mama naked, getting your daddy's other wife naked, so much for that one man and one woman thing. getting your sister or your father's daughter or your mother's daughter naked? No, can't. Son's daughter, daughter's daughter, wife's daughter. Holy crap! Apparently we're talking about some real heathens here running all in the family. Boy, the way Glenn Miller played. Yeah. So, you know, I'm Groot. And thou shalt not let any of thy seed pass through the fire to Molech, neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God. I am the Lord. I am Groot. Okay. Pass through the... Really? You can do that? That sounds painful. There's that whole abomination about lying with mankind as with womankind. Yeah, I'm looking, Jack in Shreveport says, I thought there might be something about teach a man to fish and he can have sex with a fish whenever he wants. Oh, that's good, Jack. That's very good. No lying carnally with your neighbor's wife. So that means they had a problem with that. I'm Groot. Molech there. Yeah. Trying to find... there it is. Verse 23. Neither shalt thou lie with any beast to defile thyself therewith. Well, okay, so I guess it's okay to lie with a beast as long as one doesn't intend to defile. As long as it's a warm and nurturing relationship. No. Neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down thereto. It is confusion. I'm Groot. Wait a minute. Okay, so that's our Leviticus 18. Back to Kevin Swanson, movie critic.
Now, even saying that's just disgusting. Exactly. And, you know, Leviticus 18 wraps up this way, by the way, concerning all these abominable sexual practices that God warned Israel of in Leviticus 18. He wraps up this way.
It's not that God warned Israel of, it's that Israel was doing and had to be told to quit it. You can see all these commandments as an attempt, a desperate attempt, to civilize a barbaric people. Okay, if we're ever going to be any good at this, we're going to have to stop fucking mama and baby sister and Auntie Jen and fish, beasts, the fish. Yeah. Meanwhile, subject line, doing it with manatees. Scott and Punky says, the Bible says... A man shall not lie with a manatee. It is an abominable. Oh, the Bronze Age must have been. Bronze Age must have been a real hoot. Yes, yes, Devin. Yes, maybe we should. I am gross. I know. Devin does point out, regarding the elephants, the stepladder had not yet been invented. And the mouse says, take it all, damn it. Yeah.
Hey, you shall keep my statutes and my rules and do none of these abominations, either the nature...
Wait, they were doing the statues too? That's got to hurt. Them things are made out of rock and metal and sharp edges and pointy things. And damn.
Native or the stranger or sojourns among you, for the people of the land who were before you did all of these abominations so that the land became unclean, lest the land vomit you out when you make it unclean as it vomited out the nation that was before you. In other words, what he's saying is this Old Testament nation that had no covenantal connection with God was destroyed because of these abominable practices. And God says, be careful, but I might just bring this to you. If you violate my law to the level of egregiousness.
Hey, Kev, When's the last time you ate a shrimp, buddy? I've seen pictures. You're not exactly a fashion plate. I'm guessing some of those shirts you wear are a poly-cotton blend. Well, the land's gonna vomit you out, Kevin. Because you're violating God's commandments and you are an abomination unto the Lord. You ever sit down and eat a hamburger and have a milkshake with it, Kev? Yep, into the fire, bub. You're eating meat and drinking milk at the same time. That's a big no-no. God, these idiots. So, the Shape of Water. I guess, you know, remember how we took to referring to Rick Santorum as Rick Man on Dog Santorum? Is it time to append Woman on Fish to Kevin Swanson? Kevin Woman on Fish Swanson? Yeah, if only we still lived in those happier times, those happier, whiter, straighter, more closeted, more repressed times when people, yeah. Meanwhile, checking in, let me see if I've got that. Yeah, I'm pretty sure I do. Speaking of healthy relationships, no, I'm not talking about Geezer, Disgustus, and Stormy. No, I'm talking. Oh, where are you? A pastor from Tenistan. We've heard of him in the past. I'm trying to find his name again. Jesus, I can't find it because there's too many stories. Wife who killed abusive preacher set free, ex-pastor wife tied to abuse, child slavery. Pastor's wife says gun fired accidentally. Tennessee pastor indicted, accused of sexual abuse. Tennessee pastor admitted a past sexual incident. Pastor accused of molesting 16-year-old. And that's what you get if you just look for Tennessee pastor abuses wife. That's what you get. Damn. All right, well, we'll get there. We'll get there. Just a second. God, that's not even any help. You go to a specific website and, let's see, Tennessee pastor claims all scientists are abandoning evolution for UFOs and aliens, which is God. Tennessee pastor lashes out after Paris attacks. There's no such thing as a good Muslim. Tennessee pastor, what if your parents had decided to have an abortion? How would that make you feel? Tennessee pastor tells kids to take an F because history class, Pastor Greg Locke. There we go. Remember that story? about him, the preacher telling, telling students to go take an F instead of actually acknowledging the reality of science. He's attacked, for instance, he attacked Starbucks. Pastor calls out the political nonsense of Starbucks hiring 10,000 refugees. Global Vision Church, Mount Juliet, Tennessee. And it turns out that he's having... he's not real good at that Christian family values marriage thing. It was back in, December, when he said he had put away his wife. And that they were going to get a divorce. And that she was mentally ill. Then it turned out he was fooling around. He was out there uncovering the nakedness of his neighbor's wife in contravention of Leviticus 18. I am gross. Mm-hmm. Oh, did I give you a cowbell, Devin, for the stepladder and the elephant? Well, there it is. Jim wants to know, In the Shape of Water is, many question marks, a movie that won, what, Best Picture and Best Director? And it's a story about a deaf-mute woman who falls in love with a fish man. It's got fabulous fairy tale qualities to it, but makes Kevin Swanson crazy. Meanwhile, Robert in Australia says, under the subject line, torturing fish, has anyone complained about the torture sequences in The Shape of Water, the brutal and sadistic torture of an intelligent humanoid creature? Or is torture okay, but sex is bad? Yeah, I was gonna get to that. Well noticed, Robert. You'll notice that the torturing of the fish man, that's okay. That's okay. But the woman having a very pescatory sin of Eve moment with the fish man, well, you know, there we go. The internet is a very big place, but there's the story. So he's done broken the law of Jesus, Pastor Greg Locke has, because he got divorced because he had uncovered the nakedness of his neighbor's wife. They had four kids together, he and the woman he divorced. They had adopted two of the kids. He claims she's mentally ill. By the way, his neighbor's wife. He has started philandering with his ex-wife's best friend. Mm-hmm. Well, a Christian blogger met with Melissa, Locke's estranged wife, in Georgia, and she shared with him screenshots, she shared with this person screenshots from good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, God-millist, homosexual Christian Pastor Greg Locke. At one point, she texted to him, "Thank you for working with me." He said, "Don't get too used to it. You'll be sleeping with strangers in a month. Buck Wild is in your future, and you're the only one that can't see it." No response. Fuck you, Melissa. I got a tattoo on my arm. Enjoy your new haircut. You've probably already done it. Send that one to Mr. Fast, you deceitful bitch. I also don't want you raped and killed. I'll be finished soon. Today broke my heart, but I can't do this anymore. Your hair pissed me off so bad I could barely look at you. You look just like your mom, and for your own good, don't go back the way you were. I could see already that you started putting the weight back on. Don't waste $10,000 because you're mad. Today showed me that there's no path going forward. She also noted that this fine, upstanding Christian pastor has hit her a couple of times, spit on her, and smashed her phone. They were married for 20 years. Meanwhile, Greg Locke says, it ain't true, it ain't none of it true. Except for the fact that, you know, there are screenshots. The love of Christ Jesus. Steve, a member of the fraternity of Steve, and remember, all members of the fraternity of Steve get to take credit for anything Steve writes or asserts. Subject line, Kevin Swanson. Hey, Bob, I've never seen his show, but I wonder, how many times does he admonish his cultists to get out there and feed the hungry, clothe the naked, or, God forbid, visit the prisoner? You know, that's not high on their list. No, it's pretty much all about fetuses and not letting children watch movies that have, because there's all kinds of secret lesbians all over them. Let it go, let it go. And, nope, that's a lesbian anthem. Who knew? Yeah, really. By the way, 13 minutes before the hour, and just a gentle reminder, we've got $354-some-odd to raise this evening, and we remain at zero. So, and I can assure you, it will, for all the joking and carrying on, it ain't going to the Maybach or the Gulfstream 5 because there don't be one. It's going to keep the program on the air. 354, and it'll be 554 by tomorrow, and then Sunday, 754 on Friday. I can't stand the thought of it. Nope. Speaking of Christians, I've got something here. Because remember, she got all kinds of aggrieved. I'm talking, of course, about White Power Barbie, Tommy Lauren. She got all kinds of upset about the whole Joy Behar incident, where Joy Behar merely told the truth, and the right wing outrage machine went into turbocharged dudgeon mode. Yeah. Well, she's Christian, and she's proud to talk about how Christian she is, Tommy Lauren. And, you know, sometimes a Christian just has to mete out a little discipline. Here's Tommy Lauren, Christian.
Coda, why don't you tell the world what you were doing during my entire Fox and Friends hit? Oh, I know, chewing on her damn bone as loud as she possibly could. So I had to kick her about 5 times during the show. So thank you, Coda, for that.
Coda is her dog. It's a video of Coda, who is just sitting on a blanket or something and just looks cute as can be. A little, I don't know, some sort of little mutt, maybe some chihuahua in her, or little corgi, or who knows, just a cute little pup. But she wasn't even barking during White Power Barbie's segment on Fox. She was chewing her bone too loud. And what was the punishment for that? God, it's pathetic. She speaks to the dog, and the dog looks up with, you know, with those, that look of love in their eyes that only, you know, only dogs and the puppy dog look.
Entire Fox and Friends hit. Oh, I know, chewing on her damn bone as loud as she possibly could. So I had to kick her about 5 times during the show.
Yeah, kick her again, Tommy, and put some stank on it. Nice. So just remember, when she's out there, when she's out there giving, telling the rest of us how to behave and what to believe and what we should be outraged over, white power Barbie Tommy Lauren may very well at the very same time be kicking her little dog. Poor little pup probably needs rescued. That's just sad and sick. Oh, by the way, speaking of Greg Locke getting divorced, apparently there's another divorce out there in the works. Like father, like son. Junior is apparently no better at doing the whole marriage thing than Pappy was. They were married in 2005 at Mar-a-Lago. They have 5 children. And now Donald Trump Jr. is about to be an ex-husband. Because apparently his wife can't stand him either. Close friends are reporting that they're on the way to splitting. Splitsville. And apparently she's not crazy about his weird-ass tweets. Weird, mean tweets. So we've got that. Hopefully the child support will be huge. The kids deserve hazard pay just for having him for their father. Yeah. And speaking of Tennessee, this just kind of Christians in Tennessee. Wait, back up. So remember in talking about the Joy Behar thing, I said next time you hear some Christian squealing and hooting about how intolerant Islam is and they have laws that won't let you criticize Islam, but here in America we've got freedom, and then they demand an apology from somebody who didn't say anything offensive in the first place. Well, this is another one of those sorts. The next time you hear some good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexual Christian hollering about, well, Muhammad married a little girl when she was 9. Muhammad was a pedophile. Because you've heard that. We've all heard that. Well, just remember Tennessee. Tennistan, where Christian Republican lawmakers decided it's not a good idea to change the law so that there won't be any more child brides in Tennessee. The bill would have simply outlawed marriage for anyone under the age of 18. Sort of in the way that Donald Trump said that Rexxon Tillerson, good boy, Rex, Rex would be happier where he was going. Like, oh, we sent him to a farm in the country. He can run and play. We all know how that ends. Poor little Coda. Well, this bill in Tennessee, they've got a process in the legislature called sending it to summer study sessions. Well, the bill that would have stopped child marriage in Tennessee got sent to summer study session, a place from which few bills ever return. Yeah, the Christians in Tennessee think that apparently the child brides are okay. Because, see, here's the trick. There's a law that says you can't get married under a certain age without a judge's permission. But with the judge's permission, a judge could allow a 9-year-old to get married. Or, say a pregnant 11-year-old little girl. A judge could say, well, yeah, we need to make an honest woman of her. Sign the order, and she's a wife in America. But it wasn't just that the Christians think that child brides are really cool because they stand up for traditional family values marriage. No. There was a legislative aspect to it. The Family Action Council of Tennessee jumped in to stop the bill because they said that the bill might interfere with a lawsuit the Family Action Council is preparing to challenge the Supreme Court's Obergefell decision that legalized that made marriage equality a matter of constitutional law all across the country. Now, get the legal reasoning here. This is something. This is sticking the swirly straw into the far corner of the rock gut tequila bottle. This Senator David Fowler, the president of the Family Action Council of Tennessee, he says that and again, this is something that appears in his head, not in the law, again with the hallucinations. He says that the Obergefell decision nullified every single marriage license in the whole state of Tennessee, because it made marriage legal for people besides one man and one woe man. No, really. Not kidding. Just because a couple of guys can pick out a China pattern or a couple of women can and get monogram bath towels and stuff, nobody's really married in Tennessee no more. So the way he saw it, Tennessee could not move to stop children, little girls, from being married off, because if they did that, the legislature would be acknowledging that everybody who's married is still married. And so there will continue to be child brides in Tennessee because of a Christian and the love of Christ that abides in his bosom. This may very well be the only radio program in America today to use the word bosom. Bosom! Nah, that was not booger. That was bosom. Mm-hmm. Now, the sponsor of the bill, Representative Darren Jernigan, asked this fine, upstanding follower of Christ why he thought that that the bill outlawing child marriage would affect his bill challenging Obergefell. Fowler answered, and this is a quote, Some people think the state should regulate marriage, and I do not. You stupid bastard. Marriage is a function of government. Just like wills. There's no God-given right to a will. Whatever religious ceremony you have in Tenistan or anywhere else is strictly ceremonial. It has no legal force and effect unless there is a, you know, marriage license or a common law marriage statute or adoption inside that state. But here's the thing. Some people think the state should regulate marriage, and I do not. All right, so the state doesn't regulate marriage. So what are you going to do when, say, the Unitarians keep performing marriages between men and marriages between women? Jesus, these people are stupid. I mean, dumber than a handful of hammer handles. Meanwhile, a little ways north up in Kentuckystan, their anti-child marriage bill was on the verge of death until, finally, Kentucky Family Foundation got its way when they took language out of the bill that the Kentucky Family Foundation said would cut parents out of court decisions about some teenage marriages. In other words, the family could go in and say, well, yeah, she's 12 and everything, but you know what we say up the holler? Old enough to bleed, old enough to breed. We want her married off, dang it. He's a fine Christian boy. No, really. A note coming from Steve, a member of the fraternity of Steve. Now, wait just a cotton-picking minute. I thought marriage came from God and not from government. Yeah, see how confusing it gets? Yeah, that would be kind of good. Bill in Allentown noting in regard to Don Jr. I'd like to hear somebody ask Don Jr., when did you stop beating your wife? Just to see him squirm. I know. It's like LBJ said, I just want to hear him deny it. Prayer meeting Wednesday, huh? Oh, by the way, a little update from yesterday. In trying to figure out where you might find a Republican or two with enough courage to stand up and say hell, not just no, but hell no, to Gina Haspel, torture lady. Well, along the way, I was... just sort of counting off Republican senators' names on my, you know, my fingers, and along the way I said, Rand Paul, libertarian ophthalmologist. Well, son of a gun. Rand Paul, libertarian ophthalmologist, said today that he's going to vote against the confirmation of Gina Haspel, and he also said he's going to oppose Mike Pompeo's nomination to be Secretary of State. These are potentially a problem because that reduces the number of Republicans to like one that are needed to sink both of these nominations. Aha! That, on the other hand, is predicated on Chuck Schumer being able to keep his caucus together and keep people like Joe Manchin and Joe Donnelly and Heidi Heitkamp from running off and getting in touch with their inner Republicans and voting in favor of the nominations. Watch this space. So maybe McCain, maybe Rand Paul. If you happen to live in Talibandiana or North Dakota or West Virginia or any other state where some mugwump Democrat of a senator is, you might want to start getting busy communicating with their offices and tell them and telling them that you expect and insist upon them voting against both Gina Haspel and Mike Pompeo. Because, I mean, really, do we really want a torture lady who also arguably, who destroyed evidence? Well, I was only following orders, she said, but did destroy evidence. Do we want that? There's a chance of stopping this. But it's going to take work. Going to take a lot of work. What else? Oh, there's plenty more. And it's really good stuff too. Remember Rick Wiles? He's got this program online. And he's one of those chasing with a butterfly net Christians. There, okay, that's a good thought. Scott and Punky with a note. Do it now while you're thinking about it. Please take the time right now to email your two U.S. senators to request that they oppose the nominations of Gina Haspel and Mike Pompeo for leadership positions at CIA and state. It takes just a few minutes. It's very important. Thanks. That's a good idea. Do it now. Don't even have to turn the program off. Just sit and do it now. But anyway, Rick Wiles is a big one for the end times. And he's still hung up on, well, you know who. Get the hockey puck and the duct tape, would you?
The revolution is here in our country. Barack Obama was their John the Baptist, and Hillary Clinton, mentored by Saul Alinsky, the man who adored Satan, was supposed to be their Messiah, but something happened along the way to her coronation.
Saul Alinsky loved Satan? Do you just get this? I mean, when you're working that side of the street, do you just get to say shit and it doesn't have to have any relationship with facts or truth? Or, yeah, and old Saul Alinsky would get up every morning and go and comb his hair, shower, brush his teeth, and probably combed his hair after being in the shower, shave, standing there in the mirror, and, "Hail Satan! Boy, I sure do love me some Satan. Hoo wee!"
Yes, there was foreign interference in the 2016 presidential election, but it didn't come from Moscow, it came from heaven. God, Almighty God, intervened in the 2016 election because millions of his saints fasted and prayed, pleading with Almighty God to help us against our powerful foes. The astounding upset in November 2016 was not about Donald Trump. Now, I love him and I support him, but the victory was not about him. And it certainly was not about the hapless Republican Party. The victory was for the Church of God in America.
So apparently the Church of God in America can't seem to put together an administration, and by extension, God can't either. The Almighty, All-Powerful, Knows All, Sees All, Tells Nothing, Creator of the Universe, can't seem to put together a presidential administration that doesn't have a bunch of felons in it. Well, I mean, that's a lot to ask of God, I guess.
God knew the evil plans that the enemies of the cross had for Christians. If that wicked witch, Hillary Clinton, entered the White House, God interrupted the scheme to give the church more time to get its act together and get on with the job of boldly preaching the gospel of the kingdom and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Funny, during the 8 years of Barack Obama's presidency, I didn't notice any downturn in the number of evangelical weirdos out there preaching the second coming. Did you? No? I mean, they were out in the streets hooting about the little fetuses and getting all pissed off over who's getting married and why and where and how. And somehow, but again, to echo what Steve, a member of the fraternity of Steve, said a little bit ago, not spending so much time talking about feeding the hungry, housing the homeless, clothing the naked, or visiting the sick and the imprisoned. No, that's really way down. You know, it was big on Jesus's hit parade, but it's way down low on that of many of his evangelical followers. So God gave us a Republican. God gave us Donald Trump, but God can't seem to get Donald Trump to pick anybody who's not going to prison. Interesting that. And Hillary, of course, is the Wicked Witch. I wonder what brand of makeup she uses to cover up all that green. I got to be careful. I think we're going to send Scott and Punky into a conniption. Saints of Heaven and the 2016 election. I've seen these Trump voters, believe me. Fasting is not something that's on their menu. Now, Scott. But what's weird is this persistent reference to Hillary Clinton as a witch. Because now here's Pat Holliday from Miracle Internet Church. And here we go again.
People became enraged to know that the babies of America were being sold on the market. And so what happened was...
Yeah, thanks, Stan. I need a half a pound of baby. Could you have that ready when I come by?
That people began to work against Planned Parenthood. It came totally uncovered. Hillary Clinton was so dumb and stupid and so spiritually blinded by her witchcraft powers, which I think that she is the top witch of the whole world. I think that she is that woman on the back of the woman riding on the
the United Nations.
Pardon?
It's that woman that's riding the United Nations beast over there. It's a big statue.
Yeah.
I know the one you're talking about. Right.
Yeah.
Could be.
Yeah. She's the one. She is the head of witchcraft in the world. And what a lot of people don't understand is women in witchcraft are more powerful than men. In Africa, for instance. Lord, don't let me stray down too many avenues tonight.
I think she took she got off the bus at crazy and dangerously insane, and she's already strayed down an avenue or two. And in Africa, you know, that country, Africa.
But in Africa, writing the book, Witch Doctor and the Man, City Under the Sea, that I wrote. You can get that up on Amazon if you want it. But anyway, we discovered that the witches, the Queen of the Coast, they call them, those were the head witches over everything in Africa.
Now, bear in mind, this sounds like just simple lunacy, but please remember that by promulgating these witch myths, they do real harm, these followers of Christ. Because a charge of witchcraft in certain villages in places like Kenya and Nigeria, Congo, Democratic Republic of the Congo, an allegation of witchcraft is enough to cost someone their lives. And allegations of witchcraft are often made against people who have accrued a little bit of money. And then you call that you call the woman a witch or a man, and they are hacked and torn to pieces, and they're often elderly people. That's what this woman is talking about and making more likely to happen. This Pat Holiday is one of those folks who you kind of halfway wish there really was an afterlife, so that maybe when they got there, somebody could explain shit to them about just how evil, how utterly wicked they were in their lives, their pitiful little finite lives on this planet, how nasty they were, how they violated every rule of common decency and humanity in the name of their wild-eyed superstition. Charlie points out, I wasn't aware that God is registered to vote in the United States elections. Well, maybe he's the ghost in the voting machine. That would be a beautiful moment. I don't think it's in there, Marty. Marty says, witchcraft in Africa? I'm waiting to hear this person start talking about witchcraft in Wakanda. Oh, dear, that would be good. But with all this talk, you know, Hillary is the head witch. You know, I guess there was a pageant. This might be a good time for me to share with you a story that Libby sent to me. There's been a new study published in the science journal Neuropsychologia. And according to that study, functional impairment to the prefrontal cortex of the human brain leads to religious fundamentalism. No, really. The findings suggest that damage to particular areas of the prefrontal cortex indirectly promotes religious fundamentalism by diminishing cognitive flexibility and openness, a psychology term that describes a personality trait which involves dimensions like curiosity, creativity, and open-mindedness. So, from Wahhabism to Christian fundamentalism, it may be a function of Dane Bramage. Absolutely. Oh, and while we're at it, just in case you were wondering, because she has all those really, really, really double secret probation witch powers. Well, I hope you didn't put the hockey puck away. I'm just saying. Back to Rick Wiles.
So this Russian spy, who was also a double agent for MI6?
Yes, that's correct.
All right. So he worked for MI6, London's Great Britain spy agency, where Christopher Steele worked. So this double agent gets poisoned last week. Immediately, the news media in London and New York and Washington blames Vladimir Putin for poisoning him.
Right.
That Putin got another guy, poisoned another person in London.
It's not just a matter of blaming him. There's actual evidence of other assassinations that were specifically approved by cuddly Vlad Putipoot, the guy that the President of the United States probably refers to as Daddy Vladdy. Who's daddy to you? Who is your daddy, Donnie? Huh? Who is daddy? And this guy considers himself a Christian, and a better Christian than most Christians. But he can't quite bring himself to condemn a man who, at the very least, if not actively promoting, looks the other way, turns a blind eye to the murder of journalists and political opponents and gay people in Russia.
All right. And that's why I joked. I said, well, you were going to find out this guy's connected to the dossier.
But just a couple days later,
it comes out that they're connected. Okay, so maybe the Russians didn't poison him. Maybe somebody connected to the Clintons poisoned him.
When you look at this, right now, we're at a junction, let's say, at the Trump investigation, whether it be the House Intelligence, the Senate Intelligence Committee. Everyone now is really starting to look through what evidence was used to potentially get those FISA warrants, what part this dossier played in actually launching the surveillance against President Trump. So you look at Christopher Steele and his associates, all of them, actually in a New Yorker. New Yorker did a very long piece about Christopher Steele, the man who supplied the dossier, Rick. And they mentioned that Christopher Steele was actually pretty worried when he started to hear that his name was being brought up in the House Intelligence Committee hearings. So if you're someone who knows him, if you're someone that maybe even helped in the procurement of intelligence for this salacious dossier, yeah, I think that your premise would be correct. You would be worried.
See, I wouldn't describe it as a salacious dossier. I would describe it as a fact-based dossier because more and more and more and more of it keeps getting proven to be, you know, true.
And maybe even there'd be a motivation to silence you, to get rid of you, the same way we saw victims and witnesses disappear in the MENA Arkansas investigations.
That's right. So now the people connected to the dossier that smeared President Trump, these people are starting to drop dead.
Right.
Imagine that, like Seth Rich.
Yes.
We got another corpse, and nobody will ever tell us the truth about it.
These are some vile and vulgar people, these Christians. Riding the back of a young murdered man to advance their own tawdry political agenda. Reaching all the way back to that, man, it's been a while since I've heard about the MENA airport. How about you? Referencing the Clinton body count. A libel so vile that even the right wing had to disavow it. Or some members thereof. But man, they can't quit her, can they? They just can't quit her. And you know why they can't? That's a big dollar. And even though we didn't play the offertory hymn this evening, I'll remind you, and it's all tax-free. Hallelujah. Meanwhile, I was up late last night. How about you watching the returns come in from Pennsylvania? Connor Lamb won. And Johnny, tell him what he won. A job for 3 more months. Because in November at the latest, that congressional race goes away. Because the entire state's going to be redistricted. Either one of them is going to have to run again in November. But still, it was interesting to see such a Trumpy place manifest its rejection of Trump by rejecting the guy that he wanted to see elected. Meanwhile, today the news has been all full of, this is a victory for centrism. And Paul Ryan gave a statement today in which he said that, Connor Lamb is a conservative, pro-gun, pro-life man, and it's just like we might as well be a Republican. And there has been an absolute anti-Pelosi orgy all over the political landscape today. It's a big dollar. It's a good dollar. And I guess we're going to find out pretty soon if the next shoe to drop in the White House will be H.R. McMaster's. John Bolton apparently wants that job. So we'll just wait and see. Who knows what 24 hours will bring? Or 22 and a half. Who knows? And many thanks. Thank you very kindly to Glenn up in New York for jumping in this evening and getting us started and taking us down to $344 and change to finish fundraising. Thank you very kindly. You're the one and only this evening, Glenn. So, like I said, I'm knocking off early. I'm going to close out the program now because I got to hit the road. Tomorrow should be an ordinary program to the extent that any of these programs are ordinary anymore. I mean, we do not live in ordinary times. So I will thank you very kindly for your patience in me having to bail out. And we'll talk again tomorrow, okay? Thank you to all of you who participate in the program in whatever way you do. Thank you for your messages, your emails, your tweets, your Facebook stuff. Thanks for hanging out in the chat room. Thanks for your calls. Thanks to those of you who support the program and keep it on the air for everybody. Thank you so very much for that. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks this evening to Midweek Pinch Hit Utility chat room moderator and all-around great guy, Steve from Georgistan. Thank you very much to Brother Deacon Asa for HeadOn.live. We'd be really screwed right now with the other website being down if it weren't for HeadOn.live. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thanks to Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, and always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later, y'all.